Welcome to the first ever ZTGD podcast for the week of August 20th. Yay. Yeah, cheer.
Yeah.
All right. First off, we're going to get the introductions out of the way so you know who we are, you know who you're hearing. The voice you're hearing right now, I am not an impersonator. This is the original ZT, creator of the site, and the man. To my right, I have the Wombat. Yes. Say hello.
Hello, everyone in internet land.
Tell them what you do.
I do nothing when I can.
I meant for the site.
Oh, for the site. I write reviews, and I'm in charge of general sexiness.
General sex? Do you throw sexy parties?
No.
Damn.
Just by myself, usually.
All right, going around counterclockwise, this would be. We're going to the Gambus Con. What's up, Gambus Con?
Not much. How's it going?
Well.
That's an introduction right there. Yes. That's a good one.
Yes, this is the Gambus Con.
What do you do for the site?
Jack
and shit.
Yes. Basically. Yes.
He used to be a very, very big contributor. This is his recording equipment, so we won't make fun of him too much.
I'm Gambus Con. I don't write reviews anymore.
And sitting next to him is the wonderful and little-footed Killer Wolverine.
Hello. Yes. Hello. Apparently, I do nothing for the website, so we can just move on to that. I'm on suspension from writing reviews from the wonderful man himself, ZT. until further notice.
Yeah, but we keep you around because you're fun to make fun of.
Yes, I am.
And you wear women's shoes.
Yes. Women's tennis shoes, mind you.
It's
pumps.
Not pumps.
Yes,
or
let's
high
get that
heels.
Out.
Yeah,
you know. Just get out of the open, yes.
At least we hope he's not walking around in pumps.
But we
he's
still do love
right
him.
Now.
No, only on Sundays I walk around in pumps.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Whoever is fortunate enough to meet me on the streets on Sundays, I do wear high heels.
Right.
We still
Which
love
he
him.
Because he's about 6 inches tall.
We still love him, and we let him out of his cage to eat once a week.
Yes.
Which that's very grateful for.
Yeah, he's still in the cage right now, in case
you're no food right now.
All right, so moving on, because that's a little too much information about his feet.
Probably.
We're going to move on to the next section. Be quiet.
What do you think we're doing? Recording a podcast here?
Damn, I'm about to get whipped.
All right, we're going to move on to the next section, which is what are you playing? This time I'm going
to
go backwards.
Motherfucker, you sold me out.
I sold you out, I did. All right, Killer Wolverine, tell me what you were playing this week and give me a little general consensus.
So far this week is Dead Rising. Not a bad little game. Get to kill a whole shit ton of zombies. The various weaponry. Right now I'm using a car.
What kind of car is it?
It's a convertible of some sort. It is red.
It's an old Ford POS.
Yes.
Yes, it does break down quite easily. After about 10 zombies you hit, it kind of just breaks. So
yeah, see, that's why you got to buy American-made cars, because they will last you at least 100 to 150 zombies before they break down.
Exactly. So, anything else? Playing anything else?
You need a gimmick.
I saw you online last night playing Bejeweled.
I was. That game is hard.
That's all the commentary. Yeah,
that's all you get.
Out on that one.
You move little blocks, and that shit is hard.
For the achievement whores, which...
There are none in this room.
Right, yeah.
There's several in this room.
Okay, moving on to the next, because your game selection is boring. Gambus Con!
Burn! Well, I've been playing Super Robot Wars Titan!
Yes!
Original generation.
Yes, because that introduction was so much more dramatic than the game itself.
You're not allowed to speak in any other voice for the rest of the podcast.
Oh, God, no. Because people will stop. We'll turn it off right now if he's going to talk like that for the rest of the show.
We promise we won't let him.
It's a very cool game where you control robots, giant robots, like Gundam ripoffs and Pat Labor ripoffs, and it's like Advanced Wars.
So it's like Advanced Wars. It is GBA.
Yes.
It's not DS, so you can't touch the robots inappropriately.
I cannot touch the robots. It saddens me.
It's time for an important lesson, kids. If a robot says no, it means no. So no inappropriate touching.
And tell them the guys at ZTGD told you that.
Indeed.
Yes.
So what else is fondling your consoles this week?
Ooh, that's
Alpha
a good word.
3.
I like it.
I've
been playing Alpha 3.
Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Yes.
For those uninitiated people out there.
Yes.
Yes.
On the collection I'm taking it, not on your old PlayStation or Dreamcast.
Right. Quite right. On the PlayStation 2, it is... quite splendid. I like throwing fireballs and doing the hurricane kit, like click on the other. Yes.
Very good impression of you.
I think you did. It kind of nailed it with the 16-bit sound going on there.
Indeed.
That was beautiful. So anything else, or is your PS2 and GBA getting all the love this week?
It's getting all the sexy love this week.
There is some butt sex going on in that PS2.
Wow.
That was the first butt sex for the podcast.
Actually, yes.
We keep it a running tally. That's one.
That's one butt sex mentioned this tally.
All right, so now we move back around to you. It's come full circle. Well, it'd be full circle when it comes to me, but yeah. Right. Circle jerk and whatever.
It's okay. You didn't learn circles.
I didn't.
No.
It's a half square.
It is. It is a half square.
Which is a C backwards.
Forwards. Since you didn't ask me, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you.
Well, I want to know what you're playing. What's fondling your consoles this week?
You said consoles.
I'm sorry.
99 Nights, really, is taking up most of my time this week. A lot of people have been kind of dishing it as a Dynasty Warriors ripoff, but Dynasty Warriors never had 600 million screaming goblins running down on you. It just had a lot of fog and Chinese people.
No offense to
Chinese people.
You did not get to kill small goblin children in Dynasty Warriors either.
I think you may be reading a couple spoilers there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that out loud?
You did.
Okay, spoiler alert. Now rewind and listen again.
There you go. Now you got your ass covered. I've been playing mostly that. Playing some more Guitar Hero, trying to clear out some of the... I got two songs left on hard. So I'm trying to clear those out at 5 stars, and
trying to play Ghost Recon online.
Well, trying to play Ghost Recon online if anybody else would play.
I'm sorry.
But,
I paid 1,200 points for the expansion pack just so I could say I had it.
Just so you can say you had it. Just so you can feel accomplished.
So I can feel accomplished. Even though there's no achievement points, I want my money back.
But since Killer Wolverine stole my topic,
I tend to steal people's topics.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, the Guitar Hero. I play Guitar Hero so I can. So I can feel like a guitar god, which is really all everybody plays it for. So I can feel like Clapton without the coke habit or the dead son.
Wow.
That's the first dead son mentioned.
Yes.
Actually, of the podcast as well.
Is it too soon?
It might be too soon. Tears in heaven. Sorry.
Okay.
We've just alienated about a quarter of our viewers or listeners. I am also playing Street Fighter, not Alpha, but Street Fighter 2. On the Xbox 360 Live Arcade, and trying to get around all the freaking cheaters with E-Honda. So if you're listening to this and you use E-Honda, do not 100 hand slap the whole fucking match.
Cheaters.
Yes.
And then they send me feedback.
Oh, that you're a bad player.
That I'm a bad player. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I'm not going to let that go.
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other topic.
A half hour topic right there for like rubs cheaters.
And we have our first Killer Wolverine angry outburst of the podcast.
Luckily, he had no controller in his hand to throw.
Right, yeah. Otherwise, my mirror would be broken.
Yeah, or your face.
Yeah, that too. But no, that's about all I'm playing.
That's about it for you.
And every now and then, throwing in some Dead Rising, although I'm extremely frustrated with certain aspects of the game. But we can save that for later.
Yeah,
it's also another topic.
Right.
Well, I didn't see that on my list. You made it up.
All right, so...
I see it. It's right there.
So Zero Tolerance.
That'd be me.
What are you playing?
Well, like you, I'm playing 99 Nights, which
is... Because it's kick-ass.
Because it is awesome, and I love doing 1,000-hit combos and blowing people away and watching them fly and die.
Right.
And spoiler alert, killing goblin children.
Right. Yeah.
But it is ridiculously a lot harder than I expected it to be.
It is.
I mean, I'm getting my ass handed to me on the first set of missions.
Well that's because you suck.
But that could be a reason.
As you go farther, it does actually get a little bit harder.
I mean, it's not for the button mashing fiends.
It is not.
There's a lot of blocking and a lot of health management.
Indeed.
But yes, it does not deserve the reviews it's getting. If you like the demo, go buy it.
Right.
Because it's awesome.
If you at all like the Dynasty Warriors series, or if you're just a fan of epic battles, this is honestly the first. You hear a lot about epic battle games. This is the first epic battle game I've played where it actually feels like an epic battle and not like you're fighting random warriors in a giant field of fog, which is what Dynasty Warriors felt like most of the time.
Basically, yeah. Even on next gen, there was still fog. It was next gen high definition fog.
Well, it's because it was just a straight port.
Exactly.
They don't know how to do next gen.
No.
I honestly don't think that they've been shipped a dev kit yet.
Might not be, but that's also another topic.
Right, that's another topic for another time.
So, what else am I playing? Thank you for asking me.
Every arcade game.
I am not playing every arcade game. If I didn't ask you anything,
it'd be a pretty slow podcast.
It would be. Now, I am playing as well the Street Fighter 2 on live, and yes, I'm very bitter at the bad feedback because I beat you. Boo-hoo. Go home. They got quiet.
Aren't they playing from home? It's because I left. I'm back, everybody.
No, they can go home because I'm tired of, you know, beating them and them giving me bad feedback. But yeah, I'm playing live arcade Street Fighter. I'm also playing Dead Rising, regardless of the aspects of the game that piss me off, which there are quite a few that piss me off. But yeah, I still enjoy the game. I love it. I love the amount of shit on the screen, and cutting a zombie's head off with a pair of hedge clippers is one of the most satisfying things I've ever done.
Some big ass hedge clippers.
Big ass hedge clippers
are fucking huge.
They're like Edward Scissorhands.
Or kicking the soccer ball.
The size
a large
of the physical human.
And just
right. Yeah, no, I didn't mean no,
bouncing
no,
back and
the
forth.
Physical self.
So I guess I'm what you would consider a fanboy because I haven't touched any
yeah,
other.
Fanboy.
I haven't touched any other console
yeah,
besides my
you
Xbox 360.
Your name with numbers.
I do. Zero Tolerance actually has zeros in it. Just like, yeah.
It has the word spelled out.
It does, see? Because that's how lead I am. I don't,
so
I don't just put it, I can spell
it.
I mean, that is hardcore.
That is pretty hardcore.
But basically, that's pretty much all I've been playing. Everything else is on the back burner right now, but I'll get back into some new stuff.
You hope.
I hope.
If you're not too busy whoring yourself out for achievement points.
Shh.
I will not.
Jealous.
You can't keep me quiet.
I will
this
keep you quiet.
This revolution will survive.
Say you got revolution. All right. So now we're going to move on to the next topic.
Let's do it.
The next topic is innovation. We needed one of those little sound effects that goes, ooh.
Innovation. How's that?
That's kind of like elevator music.
That was.
Kind of made me a little
it's
excited.
Innovation in elevator music.
It was
yes.
Innovative. All right, so basically let's start with the next generation consoles. The hot button in the industry right now.
Uh-oh.
We already have one out, which 75% of the people on this podcast own.
Yes.
25% of them don't. Everybody gives him the dirty look.
You can't see this right now. We're all looking across the table at a certain person who shall remain nameless. Who is playing a game about giant robots right now instead of playing something on Xbox 360.
So let's talk about basically what?
I don't know.
Innovation?
Innovation.
It's your website. You
okay.
Can come up with something.
Shh. Shh. Need to edit that part out.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm not really going to edit
it. Yeah, you say that now.
I'm gonna cut that shit
copy.
Out. The unedited copy.
Oh, I don't look quite as suave as I'd hope I look.
But let's talk about the next generation console. 360's out.
Let's talk about it.
360's out. You got Wii and PS3 coming in November.
Mm-hmm.
What are you booing?
Wow, you hear
the PS3?
That?
Oh,
he's
okay.
Booing the PS3 because he can't afford it because he's
right.
Used food stamps to buy McDonald's
I
tonight.
Did.
Yeah, that Sony stopped taking food stamps.
Oh, didn't want to see. That's why I booed him.
Yeah.
Sony
yeah.
Did.
The lawsuit on the controller thing's hitting him hard.
It is.
I hear they're appealing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for that.
No. They came up with the excuse that the rumble feature interfered with the motion sensor.
Well, that's Sony's excuse.
Oh.
But
you know,
everyone who's listening
yeah.
to this, knows that that's a bunch.
No,
of
they shit. Don't. They're at home going, really?
or yelling at them.
Now
that's bullshit. No, Sony never does that. They never lie.
You remember the
fucking Sony fanboys?
You know, 25% of our audience that we alienated at the beginning with the tears in heaven joke. We just alienated another 50% of you. So the 25% that are left, thanks for holding on.
Because we're really going somewhere with this.
Mm-hmm. We hope.
But anyway, let's pose a little question that I was asking a couple people the other day. That it's a good topic starter.
You
if you could only,
friends.
It's true. I don't. I was. I said people. I didn't
oh,
say
okay,
friends. I mean, come on.
You just walk up to people.
I just wanted to random.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. I got a question.
I don't know
to,
you.
I take
who
surveys.
Who are you? And get the away from me.
If you could only buy one of the two coming out.
Right.
Granted. Okay. Let me pose it this way. Pretend you didn't own a 360, and you could only buy one this year. Which one would you buy, and why? What screams at you and says,
that is
"Buy
a
me"?
Good question. That is a good question. Honestly, having not seen either the other two, other than just trailers and so forth, having not had the chance to hold them in my hands, play them, and lovingly caress them.
You haven't got to play with your Wii yet.
I have, well, at least not the game system.
Well, yeah.
Is that what you did? Now, honestly, I mean, the 360 is a great purchase. The online, for somebody who plays online a lot, the 360 is a great purchase. After I have a little time with the Wii, I'm
there's
I'm
like
sure
so
I'll,
many jokes with that console.
Yeah, there
it's
is.
Awesome.
It's just it's waiting.
It's very phallic.
No, I'm sure that once I have a little hands-on time with it, I'll end up liking it a lot. because you want to talk about innovation. They basically set the bar for this entire generation. But once again, I haven't had a chance to play it myself, so at this point I'd have to say I'd probably stick with the 360 for Xbox Live and for some of the awesome titles that have hit it this year, like Ghost Recon and
Oblivion. We can't forget
Oblivion, which owned my soul.
Yes, he played it for many, many hours.
So at this point I'm going to say Xbox 360 with a guarded optimism for the Wii. As long as the games are solid, which, I mean, the Nintendo titles are going to be, there's no doubt about
that. Well, Nintendo always publishes really great. But see, my problem with that is, though, the third party.
Yeah.
What are we going to see? Is games like Blazing Angels and Far Cry really worth the effort? Why bring those out? I mean, even Far Cry, because you've already had it three times now.
Right.
You had it on twice on Xbox, and now once on 360, and now what is the point?
And that's the nice thing also about the Wii is that... granted, you're going to see some ports when it first comes out. I mean, Zelda's going to be on the GameCube as well. Madden's going to be on the GameCube as well. But the controller functionality is going to be so different that it'll be worth buying the Wii copy, even if you already own the other versions.
Right.
Like, for instance, Zelda, I mean, they're going to do a lot of added controller functions. So. I'm sorry, Warren. I didn't mean to keep cutting you off.
No, go ahead. But spit it out.
No, I'm just saying, even if you had a chance just to rent it, don't go out and spend the $50, $60. Right, to see how the different Far Cry can be with the controller. Y'all probably what's the word I'm looking for here, fellas?
Mimicking.
Not mimicking. Fuck you. Not mimicking.
They're doing it at home?
They're making fun of the controller because a lot of naysayers out there mocking.
Thank you.
Not mimicking.
But, give it a try. It's worth a try.
It's not that I have a problem with actually trying the Wii controller. My big problem that I have is... how long before it becomes gimmicky?
Yeah.
Where you're playing Madden and you're going, okay, I need to kick off again. I don't want to swing my hand again.
Yeah.
Because this is really boring and it was cool the first 50 times I did it, but the 100th time I did it, I was just feeling really ridiculous.
Right.
And is Nintendo going to allow you to play without having to wave your hand
around?
I'm
assuming they would put that option in because it does get tiring. Like you said, your arm will eventually
It's not that it gets tiring, it can get boring.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like, okay, I've done this a million times. The first time you do it, you're like at E3, the show floor, everybody's like, oh my god, this was so cool. You played it for 5 minutes.
Right.
That's why you thought it was awesome. Imagine that for 28 straight hours.
Right.
Can you do that?
Well, which is why I strongly believe that's why they included the backwards compatibility with the GameCube controller.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that also brings up the other problem. Why are you going to buy a game that's already been out for a year three times over? And why are you going to pay $30 more for it for a game like Rampage that's coming out on the Wii next year? Is it going to be $40, $50 when it was $20 on the PS2 and the Cube? And you can play the Cube version on the Wii
because
it is backwards compatible.
Just for some added controller
function. Like Mortal Kombat Armageddon, I mean, they are bringing it to the Wii next year, but are you going to care? You're getting it in October. On the PS2 and Xbox, are you going to care next year for the Wii?
That's good. I mean, it depends on what they... It depends on... It all comes back to how the controller functions within the game. If it's a situation where using the Wii controller feels natural and is a more comfortable or natural way to play the game, then yeah, I'd purchase it. But if it's a situation where it feels just like it's kind of tacked on, like it's just gimmicky, if you flick it, you punch, that kind of stuff.
We got Power Glove coming back in 2006.
The Power Glove. Well, the other thing that concerns me about the Wii controller is, and this is sort of an odd concern, and we sort of got off topic, but oh well.
That's what these are about.
But the fact that it opens the door for a lot of very gimmicky titles. Not games that are going to come out on any other system with any other controller. And some of those are going to be very good. I mean, it's going to be neat to play the Wii Sports games with the controller functionality because those wouldn't be... seen as strong titles on any other system, but because of the functionality of the controller, it's going to add a lot to the game. My problem is you're probably going to see a lot of Me Too titles that just pop out there that just, look how cool it is. You can use the controller to do this, and that's the only thing the game has going for it.
Yeah, which is my concern with like the DS, where you never hear a third-party title
that
breaks the market, and it's like, oh my god, I got to have it. It's all Nintendo stuff.
Right.
Because obviously Nintendo knows.
I have my theories on those. There's a couple good DS games.
A couple good DS games is fine. I'm not discrediting any DS game saying it's
sold.
A bad game. I'm saying it's not reaching the mass market, which is what Nintendo needs to do this generation, because honestly, they are falling way behind.
It's not Nintendo. It's the consumer. I mean, there, like I said, the trauma center is one
but
good example.
The consumer speaks on what people should buy because they're the ones buying it.
Well, I'll tell you, in fairness,
the consumer is also spoken to.
The consumer is spoken to, but Nintendo needs to speak to that consumer.
Absolutely.
Well, and I mean, it's part of their marketing.
They will listen to Nintendo. They listen to their peers. So if I go around telling you Trauma Center is an awesome game, you're going to tell Womble. We're going to tell everyone else.
And they're going to tell three friends.
And they're going to tell three friends.
And it's
pay it forward.
But if we're already doing that, then apparently enough people aren't enjoying these games.
We're not doing it because it's not hitting enough people.
That's why we got the podcast, because now we can speak to the world.
Power.
Yes. All 30 of them.
Both of them, yes.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank both of the visitors to ZTGD for
keeping us also, oddly enough, the ones who also like the Wii name.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes the Wii name?
Remember the two people who liked it? Remember at E3?
Yeah.
Only two people like that.
Only two people like the Wii.
They oddly enough, the only two listening right
now. They're the only two. Well, they're not after we get.
After we made. You remember the other 25% of listeners we still had left after the Tears in Heaven joke and the
fanboys.
Yeah, that. Bye. So basically, now we're just talking to ourselves.
Yeah, basically.
Which is kind of fun.
But you haven't weighed in much on this game, so I'm going to throw back over to your side of the table. What is your take on the whole next-gen Wii? And obviously, it's kind of funny because we get into this argument, we get into this debate, and you notice what never comes up?
PS3.
It never comes up.
There's a reason for that, but I'll get to that when it's my turn.
I feel that the Nintendo Wii will be a great... how should I say? A piece of technology that can have great things happen to it, but here's my problem.
Here comes Jason's big butt.
Oh.
Yes.
Wait, dramatic silence.
Oh.
The Nintendo DS...
First part of the...
The Nintendo DS only has a few great titles that are domestically released, but in Japan, there are a lot of awesome titles. There's a game called Band Brothers, which never came out over here to the United States. It's a game where it's multiplayer, where each person, up to four players, I mean eight players actually, each player uses a musical instrument and they make a song.
Now there's a very similar title due for release in the U.S. later this year from Atlas. Just to throw that out there.
Atlas, actually.
Yes,
really?
From Atlas. Yeah, it is. I can't remember the exact title of it, but it is a very similar thing where people take control of the different, you know, instruments, and you can play multiplayer wirelessly and stuff. And I'm not discrediting that. I think those are really cool and innovative games. But at the same time, my problem is Nintendo also needs to look at the rest of the consumers.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for Japanese titles, but in America, Japanese titles like that and similar games are pretty much niche titles because they're not titles that casual gamers are going to like to play most of the time.
Not until the word gets
around. I mean,
like Trauma Center. That's making a comeback.
See, you're all over this Trauma Center.
He's been talking about this Trauma Center.
It's the one best example because it is an awesome game. No one's probably played it but two people in the whole world.
Well, I mean,
I played it. It's good.
See?
There's the two people right here in this podcast. We have them both.
Woo!
But, no, I mean, the thing about Japanese titles is, like I said, very few of them that make it. And I mean Japanese niche titles by this. Titles that you can point at and say, yeah, that's Japanese. Very few of them have made it huge over here. I mean,
yeah.
Katamari Damacy is one that I can think of.
A lot of people bought it, but at the same time, it didn't sell enough to market it as a mass market title.
Right.
I mean, and the only reason, honestly, that I think it sold a lot at the beginning is because it was $20.
Right. Well,
everybody looked at it and said, okay, I'm going to try this. Everybody's talking about it. It's $20.
Right. Yeah, but most of them fall into the Mr. Mosquito category.
Well,
where you know it's a title that is very Japanese, and the Japanese, you know, enjoyed it, played it a lot, whatever. Once it comes over here, nobody buys it.
No,
because American gamers look at it and it's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for a cute little game like that. They're looking for Grand Theft Auto, and
Halo,
25 in Life.
25 and I, which sold a lot and ended up being a bargain
proof. I mean, Mostly, honestly, American gamers aren't looking for good games.
No, nine times out of ten.
Always
but,
looking for the same thing, first-person shooters.
You know, but we can argue that all night, that the Japanese
true.
Buy the same shit.
Right. That's true. Oh, no, absolutely.
RPGs, yes. dating sims, yep. and crazy, you know, whatever. I mean, it can be argued on both sides, and both sides have their own opinions, but in America, Nintendo needs to go for the American audience.
Right.
Not the Japanese audience. The American audience doesn't give two shits about I'm waving my controller and creating an orchestra, or I'm playing a 3-pixel tennis
right.
game. They want to see somebody's brains fly out on the back of the wall.
Well, I guess I don't speak for all American then,
because
I actually want to conduct an orchestra. I don't need to see brains flying against the wall.
Well, you don't
time.
Speak for the mass consumer, because what was the number one selling game last year, the year before, and the year before that? It's created by EA Sports, got a big fat man on the front, loves turduckins. I mean, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and he likes to talk about his bus. But honestly, I mean, when you look at the top-selling games, they always have the same name.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If Nintendo wants that market, that's what they need. They
you know,
need
I don't
to
think
appeal.
They're going to go for that market.
That's going to be their downfall, just like it was with
the I don't think it'll be a downfall, because they have enough, a good following. Especially, there's a lot of support behind the Wii.
Well,
with the,
but see, I would have said the same thing about the GameCube.
And look what happened
And look what happened there. I mean, the bottom line is that if you... Nintendo, the Wii, I will go out on a limb and rub my crystal ball and make a prediction right now. The Wii will sell huge in Japan when it leases.
Oh, yeah.
Or releases, not
yes.
leases.
It'll
it releases.
You can lease a Wii?
I am.
You better lease a PS3.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
But, it's going to sell huge over there. It's going to come over here. You're going to have a lot of gamers that buy it.
Yeah.
But it's going to, in my opinion, unless Nintendo markets to the American consumer and publishes action titles, first-person shooters,
racing
and American-style
games,
it's going to do the same thing that most people's GameCubes are doing at this point, and it's going to sit there and it's going to collect dust while we wait for the next Nintendo title to come out.
It might
it's
be a sad
thing,
but at the same time, Nintendo needs to recognize that and use that billions of dollars
right.
that they're making off the DS and make some of these games,
absolutely.
Buy some of these IPs. Wow. That's what they need. I'm not dissing Nintendo in any respect. Mm-hmm. I loved my GameCube when I played it. I mean, shit, I had it modded, was playing Japanese games, and I mean, I love my GameCube. It's a great console, but it's not mass market, and
absolutely.
That's the argument.
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, you got Red Steel. All right, there's your first
Red
Steel.
No, and I guarantee you that in America, Red Steel will probably be the top seller on the system for a while. Mario might be
well,
it
it's
out,
a launch title.
But
yes,
yeah. So I mean, because that's what Americans want. They
I will
want,
also,
but you
I
know
will almost guarantee you too, it will be the most traded in title.
Yep.
Oh,
when
yeah.
people get tired
yeah.
of flicking the wrist to shoot people, they
absolutely.
Will trade it.
They'll probably get tired of it day one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because
they'll
all Americans want to do
everywhere.
And I love this country, but all Americans want to do is sit on their asses, get fat. And play their
come
games.
On now, this
no.
is going out to an international audience. We do not like to sit around on our asses and watch TV and play video games. We eat potato chips while we do it too.
Exactly.
So there's an exercise for the.
But no, in all honesty, and it's nothing. It's not. This is. I don't. None of this is a shot at the American market at all. It's just
if you
look at market data, that Americans are buying racing games and shooting games,
mm-hmm.
and you know, unless the Wii caters to that niche. Niche in Japan, not so much niche over here. They're gonna end up falling behind again, and I don't want to see that because I'm a big Nintendo.
Well, it's gonna fall behind anyways because they're not gonna do that. I strongly believe they're not gonna do that,
and
I hope to God they don't because I don't want to see the three systems.
Well,
the exact
you know, every
same
single
thing.
Every single person that says they hope that Nintendo doesn't do that and they stick to their roots are also still crying that the Dreamcast is dead.
That's true.
So and, you know, and look at what happened there. You had great titles on the Dreamcast. It was a phenomenal system, and look where it's at now.
It was ahead of its time.
It has nothing to do with being ahead of its time. It has to do with the fact that it had no titles anybody wanted.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, outside of Quake and Unreal, there were
no
first-person shooters. No
one is willing to open their minds. I mean, they tried, like, for 5 minutes, oh, this game's crap, go put in a first-person.
Okay, well, you can say the same about any market. Look at the Japanese market. I mean, how long does it take for an FPS to penetrate the Japanese market?
Yeah, forever. But well, here's the thing. Not the grand majority of gamers in the United States are not gamers with quotes around that, since you can't see me making quotes.
You should use rock and roll quotes.
I should use rock and roll quotes. they're casual guys who just want to come home, pop something in the system, play it for a little while, and get off. They're not the guys that...
Not that way.
Not that way, get off. Zero tolerance.
Crazy looks going around here.
They're not the kind of guys that are going to sit down and play a Japanese RPG for 45 hours, and they're not the type of guy that's going to play some niche Japanese game that the internet is raving about. They don't care about that. They want to come home. They want to play Madden. They want to play NCAA Football 2007. They want to play Grand Theft Auto,
Halo,
and Halo. They don't care about niche little titles that hardcore, in quotes, gamers care about, because that's not what they're about. Video games aren't a life to them. Video games are just a release.
Yeah.
So they play what they find fun, and most of the time they don't find it.
It's just a casual activity. It's like the movie industry. I mean,
absolutely.
Why do you think there was a shit ton of horror movies this year? Because that's what people went to see.
Right.
That's
fast
what they,
action.
They wanted to see. That's what they wanted to see. So that's why that's why people kept remaking them.
Very little thought, visceral action.
I mean, that's
yeah,
all.
Look
that's
what
all
it's doing to the movie industry.
The
well,
movie industry, you know, people can say
video,
that all day long.
This is not a movie industry podcast, Killer Wolverine.
Oh, well, you know.
I am going to push your opinions to the outside.
He's kicking him to the curb.
I am.
You're going to kick me to the curb.
And speaking of that, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we'll be there.
Hopefully.
Maybe I won't.
Yeah, because we're going to kill him.
Yay.
And we're back!
Yes, we have.
Woo!
Crazy.
Woo!
Oh, God, wrestling references everywhere.
Hey, you know what's awesome?
What?
They don't even know we left.
I know.
For them, the podcast just continues. They're sitting there, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm yelling. In
the edit room, I'm going to add a little music.
Oh, nice.
Maybe. Depends on the budget.
Okay, that's enough.
Just stop right there. All right, we're going to move off of next-gen consoles. Mostly, we're going to move into individual new IPs, i.e. Gears of War. I'm using rock and roll quotes here.
Rock and roll quotes.
Gears of War, new IPs versus established franchises such as Grand Theft Auto.
Let's do it.
What is going to make a game mass market and make it a franchise? I mean, a game like Gears of War coming in, what is going to make Mass Effect, what's going to make it a franchise? What's going to make it huge as opposed to a Madden that gets a new release every year?
Well, it's going to have to be good.
Well, that's the first
step.
That's
for sure. No, I think it's got to have memorable character. An identifiable character, somebody that the casual gamer can identify with. It's got to have solid control. And I'm basically just naming all the shit that video game reviewers like, aren't I?
Oh, you do. You sound like the back of the box.
I do.
You sound like the back of the
box. I should get a job reading the back of the box.
You should. You should get a job writing it.
I should.
And then you could quote my site.
No.
Damn. Free promotion was coming out.
But no, what else? Throw something out there.
Thing is,
here we go.
Here's the thing about narratives in video games.
Narratives as in the storyline or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Is, you know, how should I put it?
Bluntly.
In words.
However it comes out in English.
There's three different reasons.
Yes.
Okay, sometimes when you have a storyline and then another game has a similar storyline, they might just copy off of it, right? But here's my thing. I feel that originality can come from a similar story, but told from a different angle. That's you great. Know, sort of like you're the villain.
Which a couple of people have been playing around with, obviously. Knights of the Old Republic and Fable and that sort of craze that went on at the end of the last generation.
The morality issue.
Yeah.
So,
how about this? We have countless World War II shooters out there. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
Oh, God. There's a lot of bad things happening here.
Okay. Here is my suggestion. For this particular genre, World War II shooters, how they can spice it up and make it original.
Like the Spice Girls.
Yes. I mean, no.
If you want to be my World War II shooter...
You gotta get with my friends.
How about this? A World War II shooter where civilians are involved.
Or how about this?
Children are involved.
How about this?
Ouch.
No more World War II shooters.
Well, that's another honestly, and I don't want to go too far off topic here, but have you read how Resistance Fall of Man is played out?
Resistance Fall of Man.
I really like this idea, and I think it's going to be a really cool idea, a cool take on it. It takes place as if World War II never happened.
See, that's an original concept.
And it's like these kind of crazy aliens. Well, obviously, there's aliens in every game.
Aliens in every game.
Yeah. But these aliens are like, and they're fighting this big war, but it's as if World War II never happened. So the storyline is built from that perspective. So maybe no World War II shooters means it never happened.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. I mean, the Germans erased it. Why can't we?
Sure. And we've just alienated our German audience. We're doing a good job of whittling our audience down.
Yes.
Pretty soon it's going to be one fat guy.
Well, there
and
he goes.
A Speedo.
Eating Cheetos on a beanbag.
So, hey, fat guy in a Speedo, eating Cheetos in a beanbag, we're talking to you, buddy.
You are our number one fan. But no, I can understand where he's coming from, because we were talking about this the other day, how a lot of Japanese RPGs, they have the same storyline.
Oh, yeah, it's Boy Saves World.
With the crystal of life and falls in love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same story, and he's very effeminate.
Speaking of which, I need to get working on a Japanese RPG.
A Japanese RPG?
So I can make a whole lot of money.
Really?
Writing the same story as everybody else and drawing big-eyed anime characters.
There you go, with big eyes.
And big... I said
that's what he said big-eyed for.
Oh, okay.
Big-eyed anime characters with big eyes.
You gotta bring it out twice, because that's how big they are.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But we were talking about how developers like BioWare and Blizzard have already taken that the next step, and they've added morality into the issue where you can choose what you want to do. You kind of got your own path, and we think that Japanese RPGs could benefit a lot from that.
Yes.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the Japanese RPG has definitely stagnated over the last couple of years. I mean, with few exceptions. But generally speaking, it's the same story, the same battle mechanic, with, you know, a few variations here and there so they can call it new.
And there's nothing wrong with that if you like that.
No,
I mean, that's
not.
Fine, but...
Absolutely not.
I would like to see innovation.
It's just chances are if you like one, you're going to like every single one of them.
Exactly.
Which I guess isn't exactly bad until
no,
you play through 10 or 12.
It's the same thing as what we were talking about earlier, where some Americans like first-person shooters and Japanese like dating sims or RPGs or whatever. And that's fine, but every now and then you like to add a little... Like, for instance, FPSs with Prey.
Yeah.
With the portal system.
Yeah.
It was clever. It was cool. The game was, what, 5 hours long?
Yeah.
But you still enjoyed playing through it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a good game. So, I mean, that's just one of the things that every now and then you like to have.
So, to drag this kicking and screaming back to the original question.
There was a question?
There was a question. What? Let's just go around the room. Everybody name one thing. I'm going to take charge of this mother truck.
Oh, you're taking charge now.
Everybody name one thing that they think will make a new franchise stand out and create a sequel spawning horror planet. I couldn't think of any other word to end that.
Sequel spawning horror planet.
Yeah,
that works for me.
So, just come up with one thing that's going to make a game into a huge franchise.
Originality.
Okay.
Well, damn, you didn't even get to ask anybody. You just jumped right in.
I'm tired of you saying the same damn thing over and over.
Wow, here comes the fight. Here comes.
I'm kidding. God,
there's a lot of things slamming.
Originality.
Originality in what respect, though?
In every aspect. In character, in storyline. World War II shooters. End it.
You know what? I don't. You know, I gotta. Okay. Maybe originality coupled with several other things. But originality on its own will not make a game.
Oh, you're not gonna stand for originality.
What if you.
Oh, no, I'm gonna stand for originality, but it's gonna have to be originality with something else, because my favorite game of last year, Psychonauts, was incredibly original, and nobody bought it.
But no one bought it, because you know what? Americans, and they don't.
You
like
see that? Did you see how much anger came out of him? When
and that, ladies and gentlemen,
he was
third angry Killer Wolverine outburst. So are you mad at
it? It bothers me that no one plays these games. They're great games, but no one would know it. But a select few, not the hardcore gamers, people who know what they're playing.
Well, it goes back to the situation where if they don't like it, it's obviously not a great game to them.
To
it
them,
it could be a great
half
game.
Half of them, I guarantee you, not even a quarter of the Americans played it.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
So they won't even know what they're missing.
Well,
they look at the reviews like, oh, this is a cool game.
A quarter of nobody played it.
Well, obviously, you can look at that with the sales number. But, you know, you can take this back to any single year. I mean, well, the year before that was, what, Beyond Good and Evil?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody played that. It was a great fucking game.
Another great game.
You know what? You can sit and piss and moan about it all day long, and you can piss and moan about the originality, but here's my big thing. You know, EA pumps out NHL, NBA, Live, NASCAR, Tiger, all this shit every year. And you know what they do with that money that they make? They take chances on games like Army of Two.
Yeah.
So what are you going to complain about there? I mean, you get these franchises, you get to play them.
Unfortunately, though, a lot of developers don't have a Madden to fall back on.
No, they don't.
And, you know, nothing against EA, but they haven't exactly been a beautiful bastion of creativity.
No, nobody's accusing EA of being original.
Spawning sequels left and right, you got Burnout. Great series.
But,
love it. What else can they do with it?
Exactly.
But you still buy every year.
Well, I will buy
Dragon. Exactly. So, you know.
But I also buy that Beyond Good and Evil's, you know. The Prince of Persia, which is three games that no one's bought.
I bought all three of them. And I wish I hadn't bought the second one.
Well, there are forgettable ones, but, you know, three amazing games that no one plays.
You know, and all you can do is exactly what you say. You can tell people about it. And honestly, when I worked in a store, I would tell people about these games. I'm like, you need to play Beyond Good and Evil. You need to play Prince of Persia. And that's all I can do. I can't do anything else about it.
But see, it all goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where instead of marketing towards a niche of hardcore gamers,
you need to market
to the masses in order to be successful. Now, I'm not suggesting that these dealers or these
developers. I'm picking up words for you over here.
That these developers should do this on a large scale, because I like the niche titles, the creative
games. I do too, to an extent.
But in order to be financially successful, not financially successful, but financially a financial juggernaut like EA, you're going to have to...
Well, buy out everyone.
They didn't get rich by being stupid.
No, absolutely. They got rich by catering to the masses.
And that's exactly what they...
buying every other company.
Well, that's because they have money from all those franchises that people keep buying.
That's
brilliant. I mean, it's like people who say, I hate Bill Gates. Well, why? Because he has more money than me, and he does all this stuff. Like, no, he was smart.
Yeah.
He made a shit ton of money, and now he's banking on it.
Yeah.
You know, he can do whatever he wants.
We should do a survey. We should ask everyone listening what makes games like Madden so
great. What's percentage of five people going to do?
No. No, seriously, though, that is a good idea.
It's like, what makes Madden so great every year?
Why don't we do, and we're going to let you flood ZT's email box.
Yeah, you can flood it. You can flood questions at ztgamedomain.com and just send them all to me, and I will answer them.
And so what we'll do, we'll pose this question to you, the both people who are listening. What do you think is going to make a game a huge franchise player in the future? What do you think these titles that are coming out are going to have to do to make themselves stand out in the market and carry on a lineage of sequels?
Do the other two of us get the answer, or is that done?
No.
Okay.
Go away.
I just wanted to throw it out.
No, I just wanted to know. Killer Wolverine had a good idea for
you. No, he has. That's fine.
That only happens on rare occasions, so let me bask in my
mind. So let's go to somebody else. Bask of glory here. I'm going to say, and I think this is brilliant, I don't understand why people haven't done it, co-op online.
Absolutely.
How much more do we play Ghost Recon because we can go online and play co-op and do
these missions?
You know what? Because you're playing Bejeweled all the time. But to get back to my point, you will keep a game like Ghost Recon or Rainbow Six and stuff like that longer because you can hop online at any time and play through the single player with your buddies. Like, two of my biggest anticipated games are obviously Army of Two and Gears of War, because I can hop online and play with people, and I can play through the single player, and that's awesome.
Crackdown
is going to be online co-op.
So basically, a very solid online component.
Yeah.
Is what the next, was one thing the next
but
time.
Well, they've already got
one system. Then.
Like, for instance, Halo 2.
Well, Halo 2 is, I mean, it's still the most played online game,
probably
period.
Will be the most.
Until Halo 3 comes out.
Yeah, right.
Obviously. But I want co-op. I don't just want deathmatch. I just don't want to kill people. I want to play with somebody else and, you know, and actually get out there and play through the single player.
Right.
I mean, I love doing that.
Co-op is awesome.
Good input.
Yes.
That's solid.
Yes, I got my 10 cents in.
Okay, well now put your 25 in and answer his question.
What is going to make game a franchise player?
Player.
Player with an A.
I think that there should be...
Player with two A's.
We've already talked about the multiplayer co-op aspect. Now I'm going to talk about... Well, I haven't really been doing much talking anyway, but I'm going to talk about now... That's
apparently very funny.
The single player narrative. Metal Gear Solid series was incredible. I don't think it was incredible just because you get to shoot people.
Well, you didn't do a lot of shooting in Metal Gear, though.
I like to shoot people. But I can barely get you.
I think games should have more plot twists in them. I've noticed that a lot of people love, movies with plot twists. I think games could benefit from it as well. Like, could you imagine a game that starts off as, like, an RPG, but then at the end you realize it wasn't an RPG at all, it was a first-person shooter?
Crackdown.
That would be crazy.
What the hell did you just do to my mind?
How do you do that?
You make my head.
I thought you were talking about a storyline, not a gameplay mechanic. You're blowing my mind over here.
He's confused everybody.
I think...
I think I just confused myself as well. But
I'm going to backtrack here.
Wow.
But hopefully someone who is a part of the gaming industry is listening to this and maybe just had a idea that was like, holy crap.
There's only three people in the world listening to this. And none of them
and it's all in the same room right now.
Yeah.
But they have done twisting games, but it's been in storyline. Like, for instance, Knights of the Old Republic had a huge twist.
Yeah.
So did Jade Empire. But once again, that goes back to the fact of BioWare being the only real big company to make it a mass appeal. And it's just because, I mean, honestly, Knights of the Old Republic didn't get famous because it was marketed great. I mean, it was a great game.
Yes.
It was a phenomenal game. And just like Madden being as popular as it is, I mean, when we first played it on the Genesis and the Super Nintendo back in the day, it was the shit. I mean, it was awesome. It blew stuff you'd been playing, like Tecmo Bowl, and you were just like, oh my god, I have every player, I have all of this stuff, and it's just a great game. And that's how it builds. That's how it starts, you know? You get a game, and it's that great, and it just happens. Sometimes with, like, his Psychonauts or... You know, other instances, Oddworld Stranger.
He said my Psychonauts because I'm the only one who played it.
Yeah, I own it. I played it. I just never beat it. It wasn't my fault. Yeah, wait, yeah, it is.
It is your fault.
I still bought it, though.
Yeah.
So that's what,
that
yeah.
I applaud you.
That's right. There was only two people in this room that bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you didn't buy it, Mr. I have to support innovation.
I bought the other ones that we mentioned, Beyond Good and Evil, The Prince of Persia.
Oh, but you couldn't spare the $50 for Psychonauts.
No, I did buy it, actually. Just never played it.
Oh, nice.
So my whole point went out the fucking window, thank you.
Yes, but I just figured we'd bring that up
I did
for you.
Play the other ones, though, so my whole point didn't.
So I think we have a lot of good points, and yeah, if you want to flood the email box, that's fine. We will address them on the next podcast,
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Actually, we'll probably have to, because there's, like I said, there's only about three of you out there. So you send us one email apiece.
That's three questions
that's
we got to do,
do
next week.
That's
some mass market right
there. Yes.
Yes.
But see, all we got to do is get word of mouth out about how good this podcast is.
Yeah.
And it'll be a juggernaut.
You would be
a
surprised.
Juggernaut.
Or at least word of mouth out about how mediocre the podcast is.
That's true, but at least it's funny.
You got to start somewhere. That's mediocre.
True. Yes.
All right.
All
so
about
mediocre. It is about mediocre. So we're going to move on to our next topic, which is actually a lot of fun, and we hope you enjoy this. Before the show, we decided we were going to come up with a top 10 list, and we tossed around a couple ideas, and we finally came up with the absolute funniest gamer tags we could find in the span of 20 minutes.
So if you hear your gamer tag on here,
we're not judging you, but
yes,
we are
making
fun.
Yeah,
of you.
We really are judging you.
I'm not judging. I'm making fun.
Okay.
So, you know, in essence, that works too. But these are the people that you might run into online. These are in no particular order, and we just grabbed them quickly, so we didn't get to all the funny ones, because I guarantee you there are funnier ones than this. But this made the entire room laugh, so we have to bring them out. I will start with, you can't read those out of succession, so we're going to start with the two bottom ones, which is, yes, there is somebody out there named a used condom. So if you ever are fragged by a used condom, be careful.
God knows I've been.
Be careful, because right behind him might be a violent fluid, which is the next gamer tag we have on our list. There is somebody named a violent fluid, and funny enough, their name was right below a used condom.
Which often happens.
It does, and it's very scary. So we're going to jump up to the top now, and this is Canadian pride in its finest form.
Indeed.
With the crusty Canuck.
Rusty Canuck.
I mean, what?
That's
with a K.
It's hardcore because it's with a K.
Yes.
He is hardcore amounts of Krusty.
It's, wow.
But not hardcore amounts of Canadian, because the Canuck is spelled with a C.
It is. He spelled it with a K, so we have problems. On our next one, we have Little Debbie's arch nemesis, the Snack Cake of Doom.
Of Doom! And coincidentally, and this goes into another public service announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're trying to decide what to make your gamer tag, whatever you do, do not put numbers in the place of letters, because it makes you look like a giant tool, which is spelled with two O's, not two zeros. Snack Cake of Doom is spelled with two zeros in the places of the O in Doom, which really makes me frightened.
It makes everybody frightened.
It does.
Especially when you're fragged by a Snack Cake of Doom.
And I'm fragged, apparently, by a grammatically incorrect Snack Cake of Doom.
Well, you know, you can't blame me. It doesn't have much going on there in the basement.
That's true.
Mom's basement.
That's true.
But anyway, moving on, we're going on to the next one. The next one is, apparently this guy didn't order Hooked on Phonics either. Taekwondo Joe, spelled absolutely wrong.
Taekwondo Joe.
Apparently he doesn't train under any Asian masters. He must be training under Huckleberry Finn.
He bought the the Taekwondo at home tape. He just does Tai Bo. He found his mom's old Tai Bo tape in the basement.
All right.
I know Kung Fu.
Billy Blanks, that's his gamer tag right is. There. All right, the next one on the list. This is funny, and it's funny in a lot of respects, and it's a funny word, so we had to put it on here. But the Gooch Master Flex.
It's Funk Master Flex's
Gooch, apparently.
Handicapped brother.
Wow.
And there goes our handicap.
The kid in the wheelchair and helmet just left. And he is upset with you for making that comment.
I'm sorry.
And he does have your email address.
He does. Yes, he does. It's WombatRP.
Well, no, because you can access yours from the site.
Yeah, it's right on your staff page. You're screwed.
Damn it.
You're in trouble.
Look what you've done to me.
I've done it. And everybody's cutting. All right, the next one on the list, this guy has to be from the South. He's a three-legged hobo. I mean, where else can he be from?
Yeah.
And
I hear that the three-legged hobo population in Brazil is increasing this time of year.
Yeah, and it is actually the number three.
As they three-leg themselves south for winter.
You never know.
Yes.
But
three-leg themselves.
Well, you can walk a shit ton faster with three legs.
They tripod themselves down to Brazil.
All right, we have three more left to go. Like I said, these are in no particular order. And speaking of the American gamers, we have the Pudgy Panda.
The Pudgy Panda?
The Pudgy Panda is on this list as well, and he must play a lot of video games that aren't Wii related, because otherwise he'd lose a few pounds.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know. All right, moving on.
I'm kind of frightened by the fact that a panda has his hands on a controller. Hey, because if they can control our video game controllers, what is next? What does this stop them from taking over at the highest levels of government?
Our minds.
And people are wondering what the hell that pounding sound is on the podcast.
I don't care. All right. Like we alienated everybody already. It's just us.
It's just us. Okay.
It's just us.
Dead air.
The good contribution game. Yes. I'm glad you were there. All right, so the next one on our list is a dookie face.
That's the best kind of face to have.
And that's his name.
We're not calling him a dookie face. He is a dookie face.
Why could he be called a boo-boo face?
Watch for him after this podcast to be sued by Green Day.
Yes.
Yes.
Because they trademarked the word dookie.
They did, yes.
Yeah. And our final one, and we just got word from the newsroom a minute ago that he committed suicide, but it is the emo robot.
That's a sad. He was a good friend of mine.
He was.
I'm going to cut my wrist so that I know that I'm alive.
Sit on my face. Anybody who watched Grandma's Boy just chuckled.
Right.
Yes.
And all three people that watched.
Yeah. Which coincidentally.
Sitting in the same room.
Anyways.
But that's our top 10 list of really funny gamer tags. So
you have a better one, send it to.
Please send me emails of your funniest gamer tags, because I will read them on the air, and it's great. And make sure when you send us emails, you attach your gamer tag, and we'll read it online.
So we can make fun of you.
So you can get more friends on your friends list. It does top out at 100, but that means you have 99 more to go. So anyway,
Wow.
Ouch.
And there goes the rest of our listeners.
Alright.
I think we're in the negative numbers now.
We're negative now. People are returning.
I'm not even listening to this podcast anymore.
They're re-uploading the podcast. They stopped downloading and put it back up on upload. So anyway, moving on. That is about all we have for today, unless somebody else has something.
No.
We never really did touch on the PS3 and why.
You want to talk about it a little bit?
No, that's like a whole hour in itself and why I'm so pissed off.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to talk about the PS3.
Okay, so we're going to make next week's episode all about the PS3.
There you go.
Because I'm sure we can fill an entire hour.
But does
it
deserve it?
Oh, yeah. Because if a lot of people hear it, then they're going to know some opinions.
There you go.
It won't matter. People will buy it because they're Sony. But we'll get to that next week.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I hear you, Sally Cynic.
There he is. It's the Wii Man who cannot wait for Trauma Center Second Opinion.
Absolutely.
No, I really cannot. That's
from our sponsor, Atlas.
From our sponsor, Atlas. Yes. Buy Atlas stuff.
Atlas stuff because it rules.
Atlas is cool.
See?
Buy Midway stuff, too.
This podcast is brought to you by Atlas. It's just too bad they don't know.
Yeah.
But the guy from Atlas is going to email me and be like, why did you mention us? That was great. You know? But we love Atlas, and
we love Midway, too.
We love Midway and Activision.
Yeah.
They're great companies.
And Capcom.
No, wait
a minute. Well, this
turned into a giant
shield mess.
All right, with that notion, I'm going to cut everybody off and say it's been fun, and we hope you enjoyed listening to this. And signing off here, ZT, everybody else, sign off.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, that was weak.
I know.